All right, Wolfram, you might as well join the Channel 9 team as well, maybe as a side job.
It's really fun to be back.
Awesome.
And actually, it's also fun to meet so many interesting people here.
Amen.
And today we are here with Baruch Akhtemur, who is an assistant professor at computer science at Ossigin University in Istanbul. So it's great that we actually see lots of people from Latin America and now from the border of Europe to Asia. Uh-huh. And you're working on some fun stuff. And for your fun stuff, you actually recently got also one of the Software Engineering Innovation Awards. So first, congratulations. And
thank
then we'll talk
much.
About the fun stuff, which is in some sense maybe a little bit unusual for normal developers.
Right.
So what are you working on these days?
So I'm working on program generation. So what program generation means is that the programmer specifies, writes a program that is going to write a program. So it's meta-level programming.
Yeah.
So the idea is that the programmer can specify how to put pieces of a program together in order to build it at runtime based on some inputs that become available only at runtime.
So in some sense, if you look at how people build three-tier applications, mm-hmm. then they have to, in their business logic, maybe they get some input and then they glue an SQL string together mm-hmm. with just string concatenation. That seems to be ugly. So you seem to have a much better way to do something like that.
Exactly, yes. The idea is the same, but strings are so unstructured and unreliable that we want to have some guarantees about how the generated thing is going to look like. Is it going to be type correct? So can we be sure that it's going to be compilable? Those kind of things. So what we are doing is we are working on a type system to make sure that the generated code is going to be type safe.
So is this correct that you can then, in some sense, have one program where you construct another program and you analyze, in some sense, already at compile time,
exactly.
the type correctness of the newly constructed program?
Yes, precisely.
Wow, that's really mm-hmm. cool. So if I have actually one program and now I write in this one program, I write another program, mm-hmm. then I need some way to express that other program. And as far as I know, there was the funny term of quotation used mm-hmm. once. So can you explain how you actually embed one program in the other program and can still do the type checking? That
sure. So checking the type correctness of the generated program is not a new idea. So it has been studied for a long time. But what's interesting in our work is that we are applying a translation to the generator. So the generator contains special quotations. Quotations specify just very little pieces of program.
Yeah.
And those pieces are put together at runtime in order to build a bigger program, the ultimate program that's going to be generated. So what we are doing is that at compile time, we are translating quoted pieces to regular code, to, say, functions, and then we are type checking the translated code, which doesn't contain any quotations. We are able to reuse existing type checker or existing properties in the existing compiler.
Okay, so you have already quotations, for example, in F#. So do you use an mm-hmm. F# to build, in some sense, these to glue those little fragments together, and then you use exactly, again, the F# type checker for the newly generated program? Or mm-hmm. can you generate C program, glue that together, and use a C type checker? So how does that work?
Okay, so in our case, well, we don't use the existing quotations in F#. In our case, the quotations are homogeneous. That is, you can write an F# program that's going to generate another F# program. So that's the big difference between existing quotations in F# and what we are adding on top of the existing language. Yes, but in principle, you can have any language inside the quotation. So the generator language, the host language, and the target language do not have to be the same.
Okay, sounds great. Mm-hmm. Then when you want to generate programs, so you have, for example, a compile time generation facilities also in C and C++, mm-hmm. Where you can already partially evaluate functions at compile time, and mm-hmm. then it's highly optimized code. Mm-hmm. How does it compare what you can do in C++ with what you can do now in your language, and, mm-hmm. and what are the pros and cons of these two approaches?
Okay, so the main difference is that we are generating code at runtime. So that gives us the ability to specialize the code to inputs that are available only at runtime, that are not available at compile time.
Okay.
So in this way, when the programmer receives an input at runtime, so it can generate a code that's going to be specialized, that's going to be tuned according to some particular input. So ideally, for the applications where program generation, this kind of program generation is suitable, a subset of the input stays stable after becoming available.
Yeah, yeah.
So that we will generate the code, and then so the generated code will be more efficient as compared to the general generic version of the program, and then the generated program will be used over and over again.
Okay, so this is this reminds me of the work that was done in earlier times, where you took an interpreter, mm-hmm. and you have an interpreter for a programming language. You have the program, mm-hmm. and then the program is stable, but the data changes for the program,
yes.
and you specialize it in order to get a much more faster, in some sense, interpreter. Mm-hmm. So now you do the same thing, but in some sense, everything in a type correct world.
Yes.
And so what are the examples that you would typically use such a technique? So where do you see it can be used for the ordinary developer? And what are the benefits, the performance benefits and reliability benefits?
Mm-hmm. So we are interested in applying these things to real-world applications where there is large data. And the program can be specialized by taking advantage of the structure of the data. So, for instance, we are looking at matrix multiplication. In this case, so suppose we are doing a matrix vector product.
Mm-hmm.
If the matrix is stable, if it is fixed, and we are going to, say, multiply it with thousands of different vectors.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So we can specialize matrix multiplication procedure for the structure based on the specific structure of the matrix,
yeah.
which is going to eliminate some unnecessary checks, which is going to maybe inline some part of the code, and then it's going to run faster. So when the matrix is very large, so the problem is very challenging because the generated code, because of inlining, can become or unfolding of the loop can become too large. So now it has to be generated smartly in order to take advantage of the structure of the matrix, but also fit the code into the cache, into the behavior of the underlying architecture, which is very hard to predict.
So in some sense, the technique can lead, if you don't use it properly, it can lead to code bloat.
Yes.
And so, how do you avoid code bloat? I'll unfold it only a limited amount of time, or I take the cache size into account, and therefore I know how?
Mm-hmm. So we are experimenting with different strategies for code generation. So typically, what a programmer can do is unfold the loop partially, fully unroll it.
Yeah,
but
then,
what's the best factor of best partial unfolding factor? So that's the challenge here. We are investigating applying empirical optimization techniques there in order to do experiments at install time in order to understand the behavior of the underlying architecture, because we cannot know what the architecture is going to look
like.
And then learn the properties of the architecture and use it in order to guide the programmer to find the proper unfolding factor.
Okay.
And then there is, just to make another addition to that, so there are other strategies as well. For instance, we can generate code based on some substructures, like the stencils in the matrix. So it's like unrolling the code only for rows of the matrix, so to say.
Okay, I see. So then this reminds me a little bit about what a tracing JIT would also do, right? In some sense, given the runtime data, it also specializes and optimizes the code for it, except that in some sense, in a tracing JIT, it does it all within one language. And now you're saying is, oh, you actually specialize in a different language and you can, in some sense, still guarantee the correctness about that. Is that the main difference between these two approaches, or can you compare them?
So what I would say is that the main difference between JIT and this approach is that JIT doesn't have any domain knowledge.
Yeah.
In our case, the programmer has the domain knowledge, so this can be added on top of the code, so the compiler can be guided with domain knowledge by the programmer. So that's the main difference.
So that means that you have to write lots of annotations in order to...
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So I understand that you have already a prototype available. So in which language is it, and which language does it generate, and can we actually play with it?
It's at a prototype stage, so I would hesitate to say that it could be publicly available right now. But the goal is that, yes, you will be able to play with it soon. So our prototype is on F#. The nice thing is that the compiler of F# was recently opened as a code drop. So we just took it there, and then it has all the definitions there, the implementation for existing structures in the language. So by using this translation that I mentioned at the beginning of the conversation, so we are able to reuse existing definitions, like how the type variables, for instance, will be generalized, or what are the free type variables in some expression, etc. We don't have to redefine any of them.
So the good news is that since the F# compiler is now open source, you could easily explore your ideas in that framework, and it was relatively easy to adapt. So in some sense, that's great news for all our language hackers that want to play with new concepts in languages. Just take that compiler and do something like you did to explore your new ideas and new type systems. So I really look forward to using that system, because I think we all suffer sometimes that our code is still a little bit slow. And the other part is, I think by now we generate lots of code automatically, right? So in some sense, if you use a designer, you generate code. If you use a XAML, you generate code. In some sense, that is in some sense seems to be more and more prevalent that we actually generate code. And what you guarantee is that we actually generate type correct code.
That's right. Yes.
And that probably helps if you ship your code on the web and it runs anywhere. You better want to make sure that it runs properly.
Yes.
Yes.
So that's exciting work.
Thank you very much.
Thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you.
I look forward to see more of this line of work.
Thank you.
Cheers.